So before we get into the message this morning, I thought it'd be appropriate, since it's Veterans Sunday and we can remember and celebrate the veterans, and I thought it'd be appropriate if we had a time of prayer. So will you join with me in a moment of prayer? Holy One, in the moments of silence, in the moments of stillness, we thank you. And we come before you on this Veterans Sunday and are grateful for those men and women who have served, for those who have sacrificed so much for each of us. We thank you for their families, who went countless hours, days, and months without seeing their loved one. For those friends who desperately wanted to see their best friend, but they were across the other side of the world. God, we thank you for those servants, for their sacrifice, loyalty, and dedication. And we thank you for their service of freedom, liberty, and justice for every human being. So we take a moment now to pray for those veterans who are serving, have served, or have given their lives, either aloud or silently, in these moments. Holy God, we also pray for peace this morning, that you do not desire bloodshed, but that you want us to live in harmony with one another. So help us when we fail to follow your will, when we distort what you created us to be. Remind us to live into that peace. Because God, there is so much hurt and loss surrounding us. We know that you are the only one who can save us and be within our brokenness. And we especially pray for those who lost their lives at First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs in Texas. We pray for the mothers, the fathers, the sons, the daughters, the grandparents, the loved ones that are grieving the deaths of their family members and friends. We ask that you send your comfort, that you would cry with those families in that community, that you would be present, that sometimes your presence comes through the hug of a neighbor, sometimes it comes from a meal being given at the front of a house, sometimes it comes from a loving card being sent. God, might you be present within that community in Texas. At times, the world seems to be falling apart. Divisions become greater and violence surrounds us. But God, we know and we proclaim that you do not leave us or forget about us, that you are not a God that sits on a throne, but we know that you are a God that is with us. So come be with us and stir within us work for justice, peace, love, kindness, and serving our neighbors. Where there are people who are hungry, might you help us feed them. Where there are those who are thirsty, might you help us give them something to drink. Where there are those who are without clothing, might we give them some of our clothing. Give us your spirit of love and hope, O God. Amen. So we have a couple of special guest preachers this morning who's going to come forward. I'm going to invite Wally Perez and Frank Langley forward. And you can give them a hand as they come through.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me get mine.
He gave me the soft chair.
Yeah.
Age has its privileges.
So before we start, if I could just say a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I would just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the Holy Spirit, and that the words we say be yours. It's through your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, good morning. I'm Wally Perez.
And I'm Frank Langley.
And we're just going to share our kind of a story with you, I guess you could say. I think before we do that, maybe you might want to know a little bit about ourselves. So, Frank, if you want to start.
I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian family. My mother was very faithful in her faith. My father not so much so, but Mom made up the difference with all that she did to lead us to where we were. I followed my faith for most of my younger life and through service, and after service I seemed to break away and get away from the church for too many years. About 20, 25 years ago, a good friend of mine asked me to go to church. And during that service, they played the song Love Lifted Me. That was my mother's favorite hymn. And I felt her next to me. And I felt her say, you've been remiss and you need to come back. And since then, I've been on a steady road and steady path back to faith. At that church, I was involved in Curcio and did some youth work. And since coming here, I've also been involved with the youth of the church. I have been involved with Emmaus, the United Methodist Men. I spent some time with Celebrate Recovery, some good time. I've completed Stephen's Ministers. So I've done a lot of things within this church. I love this church. This is my church family. This is where I've raised my children, and you have been so receptive to my children. Just as a side note, if you don't know, I've got a 18-year-old daughter that completed the crucible at Paris Island on Thursday and will be graduating from the Marine Corps boot camp this coming Friday. So that's where I am today. Most of my involvement has been here, and at one point in I've decided over the past few years that maybe it's time to reach out.
Okay. So I grew up Catholic. I wasn't really raised in the church. I was Catholic by name, but not really Catholic in terms of practicing. As I got older, I really didn't have a faith. I didn't really wasn't involved with church. I think I remember going to like Christmas services or Christmas masses and Easter masses, but really to say I was a Christian would not be correct. It really wasn't until our oldest daughter was born, my wife and I, we kind of started going to church because I felt something was missing as a young adult. And so we started doing the church shopping, so we went to all these different denominations. And I remember them. It was a Methodist minister that was giving a message, and it was about running. And I'm a runner. So I'm like, hey, this guy's a normal person. So that kind of was the hook for me. So it was really his message that really spoke to me. So we started going to church a little bit more often. Really weren't involved in the church. We started doing a little Sunday school here and there. But when our oldest daughter was born, that's when I learned about church family. And without going into that big story, because I get all bawly when I talk about that, but it's really when I started getting, that's later. But it was through my start of our family, having kids, and then raising our kids in the church. So since our kids were born, that's really when my faith started to grow and I started to get involved. We moved to Jacksonville in 2004 as a family. And we went to a different Methodist church, but we joined Mandarin through the youth program. So it was really the youth program that brought us into the church. And kind of like Frank, I got involved with different things. I was involved with the connection planning team back in the day, Caleb, back in the day. But then I've done all kinds of different things with the church and was very involved here. I was very connected in the church, but kind of like Frank said, I got to a point where I felt like maybe there was something else. So you want to talk about your something else? What made you decide to start going outside the church?
I felt I'd kind of run the gamut in the things that I could do here. And I've always wanted to have an opportunity to reach out and touch other people and then bring other people into the church and bring other people in the faith. And I didn't think anything I'd done up to this point gave me that mission opportunity, didn't give me the opportunity to go out and bring people to Christ. That's what brought me into something else.
And kind of like that, I kind of had gotten to a point in my faith where I was really involved. I was doing all these things, but I was very stagnant in my spiritual growth. And I really wanted to do something outside the church because I felt that maybe that would help me spiritually. And I started off with a different ministry than what I'm currently doing now, but I didn't quite connect with it. And so I was praying about it, and I remember when I was in the process of praying about it, there was an announcement made in our Sunday school class about this ministry. And I'm like, all right, never heard of it, don't know anything about it. Cool. So then, just being honest, that same morning I went down, and I don't know about in the women's bathroom, but in the men's bathroom they have bulletins posted in interesting places. And there was a bulletin announcement about this same ministry. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there it is again. So then I was coming into the sanctuary, and I overheard a conversation, and they were talking about this ministry. And I've been praying about it, so I'm thinking, okay, well, somebody's talking to me, so maybe I should try this out. So I decided I'd give it a year, and I think right now would be a good time to show you a video.
I'm going to tell you about Kairos, this prison ministry that comes inside them walls. It's a dead man. A lot of people say we dead men. I mean, I was just a madman. Everybody got a story. But when you really get touched by God, that's when you know you got a real story. Well, my name is Tommy Fisher. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I grew up in the street gangs there. I got a lot of trouble. I ended up doing 20 years, 11 months flat in prison. I had an aggravated life sentence. I wasn't supposed to never get out. I ran the gangs in prison. You know, and I hurt a lot of men for some crazy reasons. I used to actually get Christians beat up because they say they wanted to come to Christ. That's how crazy and radical I was. But when they picked Kairos, they only picked the worst inmates on the unit. Because they want the roughest dudes on the unit, the fools, to get changed. And this ministry is actually going in here and showing this love and changing people like that. I'm gonna tell you the truth, I went for their food. I didn't go to get saved, but God had set me up. When I was sitting there, man, you know, I was listening to this dude talk. You know when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus' presence knocked him off that horse? I know for a fact I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I felt it like Paul felt it. And from that day forth, man, God has just been blessing my life. While I was in that prison, I got into this Thurapon Theological Seminary and Bible Institute. I got a bachelor's degree in biblical studies. I also went to college and I got me an LBT. I just thank God for God's blessing. I got a license to counsel, you know. And I really thank God for what he changed me into, because I used to be a monster. I used to really be a monster. The only reason why I don't know if I ever killed a man, because I never went back and asked the man who I shot was he dead. But I shot a lot of people, and I hurt a lot of people's lives. But ministries like Kairos can go inside them walls and show a man God's love. Man, if I could tell anybody about Kairos, man, it's changing lives. Because I got to get God back what he gave me. He gave me back my life. He gave me them years that the locust stole from me. Gave them back to me, and I'm thankful for them.
So, in case you haven't figured it out, Kairos is a ministry that Frank and I connected into. So, a little bit about Kairos. Its mission statement is really about changing hearts and transforming lives. Kairos, it's an interdenominational ministry, meaning all faiths. I've been on teams with a Baptist preacher, a Catholic priest, a Presbyterian minister, just you name it, pretty much everything you can think of.
True.
And the thing is, David Casey, maybe some of you may know David, he was actually the initial Mandarin member that joined Kairos, and then Frank and I joined after he did. The thing about Kairos is that it's sharing God's unconditional love. There's a mantra we say, listen, listen, love, love. You listen, and you listen some more, and you love unconditionally. Kairos is God's love. It's loving in a way that's so unconditional. And one of the things, I guess I didn't really talk to Frank about this, but one of my first impressions in Kairos was the men on the teams. I've no disrespect to Mandarin men, because I know most of you guys, but these are some of the most godly men that I've ever been around. And the way, I learned a new way of hugging that I had never experienced before.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm not much of a hugger, really. Well, I am now, but I wasn't then. Because you have to be, because these men, they love each other so much. Because when you're going into a maximum security prison, I mean, we go in as a team. And you know that the men that you're serving with have the same love of God that you do. And it's just an incredible thing.
It's wonderful. It's what I've, as Wally said, I've never been around a more godly group of men in my life. And they come back time after time after time. We go into the prisons twice a year. We go in the fall, we go in the spring. And there's 35, 40 men have to be joined together as a team and spend 8 weeks. We train for 8 weeks before we go in. We don't just go in, I want to go in the prison as a minister, and you just slide right in. We spend 8 weeks training, and then we're there for a three-day weekend.
Yep.
And it's a remarkable experience.
Yeah, so we go in for the three-day weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in a second, but you really do get to see firsthand some men get transformed. And then part of the other thing that we do is we go in after those three-day weekends, we go in once a month for follow-up, what we call reunion weekends. The basic idea behind it is, you know, these men inside, they're surrounded by, I don't know, a lot of despair, a lot of negativity. So the hope with Kairos is that we're going to help these men create their own community of faith where they can have their own small groups and kind of support each other, because once we leave, it's just them. So a little bit about the prison that we go into. We go into UCI, or Union Correctional Institute.
Formerly Rayford.
Formerly Rayford, right. It's just outside of Stark. It's a maximum security prison. The men inside here have done some really bad things. I mean, like some really, really bad things, and I'll share a story in a little bit. Most of them are there for a minimum of 20 years and will probably never see the outside of the prison. You had a statistic.
There are statistics that say that of the men that leave a maximum security prison like UCI, 55% of them will generally come back, will end up coming back. That's the overall population. Of the population that has gone through Kairos, only 16% come back. So there is a difference.
Right. We have on our team, some of the men, they actually minister to the death row inmates, because at UCI is one of either two or three prisons that incarcerates death row inmates. So some of the team members actually go into death row and minister to those men. One of the biggest ways, you heard him talk about the food, because these guys, has anybody here had prison food before? Probably not.
We have.
And it's what you think. And you know it's bad when they warn you what not to eat.
Yeah.
When they tell you, just stay away from that, and that's supposed to be a hamburger, but it's, I don't know what it is.
Over the three-day weekend, when you go in, you initially don't know these people. They come in and they kind of walk through a gambit. We're standing on the sides and we greet them. We're assigned a specific inmate who we host. And there's very little conversation. A lot of them walk in with their heads down. They don't want to make eye contact. They don't want to do any of those things. And they, lost my train of thought here.
Well, I was talking about the cookies.
Yeah.
So this is how we get them in. We bring cookies in, and I've never seen people eat so many cookies in my life because they don't get them. So this is our hook. We can't bring in food. We used to be able to, but each institution is different, so we bring in cookies, and that's kind of, literally, that's the reason they come, is for the cookies. And then once they're in and they start experiencing Kairos, they start to change. And with that, Frank, I'll let you tell your Kairos stories.
Okay, I got involved about a year and a half ago. So I've only been in the ministry about a year and a half. I was in Sunday school one day, and this gentleman says, We're looking for, first of all, he started with the cookies. Our group, our Sunday school class, donates a lot of cookies to the Kairos ministry. And then he said they were looking for men. I've got a sister who passed away about 8 or 9 years ago, and she was active in the Kairos ministry. At one time during my life, the previous church I went to, the pastor, Gabe Goodman, and his wife were involved in Kairos, and took me to a closing. It had to be the most moving ceremony that I've ever been to in my life.
And a closing is when we wrap everything up. It's at, right. at the very end of the weekend.
It's the very end of the weekend. Anyway, Wally made the invitation. So I initially came in as kind of a memorial to my sister. I'm going to finish her ministry. And that's the only reason I was there. I started the 8 weeks of training, and during the 8 weeks of training, I continually asked myself, what do I have to offer to these people? And as we got deeper and deeper now, these men, as he said, they're some of the most godly men that you'll ever meet. And we pray a lot together. And some of you know I've got older sons. I've got an older son that's 52 years old that lives out in California. And he and I had been estranged for 8 years. I had not talked to him. And he had not talked to me for 8 years. So during the 8 week training period, he had been on my heart. And I, each time I was asked about prayer, I had these men pray for Frank and I. I was still searching for, why am I here? What am I going to do? What have I got to offer? What can I say to these men that may change their lives or may help them? A week before we were to go into the prison, I got a call from his younger brother, and he wanted me to meet him in Tallahassee to go to a Christian concert. Well, he's not big on Christian music, so that should have got my spark going. Anyway, I said, sure. So I went over, and he said that a friend of his had gotten us the tickets. I kept waiting for the friend to show up. And so we're standing at the ticket counter, and I said, when's this guy gonna show up? And he said, he's behind you. And I turned around, my son was there. We hadn't seen each other in 8 years. And we had a wonderful 2 days together. If the younger people here, I could tell you, he was there as part of a Chance the Rapper concert. My son is a puppeteer, and lives out in California, but that's the work he does. And he was part of Chance the Rapper show, so that's why he was in Tallahassee. Anyway, I went back to our last meeting as a team, and told our leader, Rick, at the time, I said, this is what happened to me this past weekend. He says, I want you to tell the team the story. He says, they need to hear it. So it became kind of the inspirational point as for our kickoff for the last team meeting. And when we went into the prison as a newbie or a rookie in Kairos, we kind of sit at a table in the back and kind of observe, because you're not ready to do all the things that need to be done. But using my story, there were men, the team leaders, or the family leaders, each table is called a family. The family leaders, if they had someone who was longing to see family or longing to see children, they'd point them out to me, and I would engage them in conversation and tell them my story to let them know that if things may take time and you think that, well, if I pray for this, will it happen? Well, I prayed for 8 years to see my son. I truly believe the prayers of those men was instrumental in me and my son getting back together again. And I wanted these men to know that there's hope. There's always hope. And I'll be quite honest with you, I didn't think I'd ever see my son again. And God said, yes, you will. Interesting part. Son is not Christian at all. And in fact, he's probably closer to atheist. But the part he played in the Chance the Rapper, he played the part of the lion. The lion was God. Little did he know. So that's how I initially got into Kairos. I made some connections, but I didn't feel any real close draw to any particular individuals. I mean, I had time with them, but since you're not at part of a family, you're kind of on the outside. And to be quite honest, They have reunions every month. I didn't go back to reunions. They had another thing in April, and I didn't make it. But sometime in May of this past year, my heart was drawn again to Kairos. And Wally and I started going back. Dave Casey, who is a member of this church, was the team leader for this group that went in. It's called Team 83. I felt the draw to come back and went through the 8 weeks of training, again, thinking, you know, there's got to be a reason that I'm here. What is it? Well, as a family member, you have the opportunity to get to know these men. You have an opportunity to know their story. You have an opportunity to really converse with, and you spend two and a half, three days with the same group of people. There was a gentleman sitting to my left. His name was Brian. Fellow named Willie on the right. See, I had Gabe over here. Anyway, Brian is a 52-year-old inmate, former white supremacist. Very rough on the outside, full of the tattoos, had all the look. And for some reason, he was sitting next to me, so he was stuck with me to talk for the rest of the weekend. Turns out that he found his faith about 10 years ago. He had already taken Jesus into his life. He's very scripture-oriented. This man, before he found Christ, and this is true, I've verified it with some other individuals, he couldn't read or write. He taught himself how to read or write, to read and write. He has gone on to, he reads the Bible on a regular basis. He hands out little slips of paper to the other inmates with scriptures on it. But one of the things he told me that really touched my heart was that he'd seen his dad four times in his entire life. He's 52 years old. So he had no father image in his life. Come Saturday night, we've been together for a while, he looked at me, he says, "Hey, Pops." He called me Pops. He kind of adopted me as a dad. So my Kairos story revolves around a son that I found and a son I discovered. Brian touched my heart. And I prayed with him and talked to him. And again, I had never had the draw to go back to a reunion. But this time, I couldn't wait to get back to the reunion. There was Brian, there was Gabe, there was Kent, there was Willie. There were several other people that were among the group that I really went back to see. We hold the reunions in a chapel that's, I haven't looked, but I swear that place is geographically the center of UCI. It's a beautiful old chapel. It's a 40, 50-year-old chapel. It's old brick. The ceiling is beautiful. It's just gorgeous. At the reunion, we had 40 of our men, 40 free men, and there were 90, men, we call them the men in blue, that were there. And as they file in, we greet them as they come in, and I kept looking for Brian, never showed. So we're getting down to the last few people that walk in, and this head sticks around the corner. He says, "Hi, Pops." During his testimony on our closing, he told the people in that chapel, he says I found the Lord 10 years ago. He says, I reaffirmed that faith this weekend, but the thing that I found the most was I found my Pops. So that's my Kairos story.
Thanks, Wally. Frank. So for me, three stories stand out. You know, Frank kind of mentioned that when we first meet the men in blue, we form this gauntlet to welcome them in. And so it's interesting to watch these men, because when they first come in, they won't look you in the eye, very little eye contact, their heads are down, they might shake your hand, but I don't know, it's really weird looking at these men that are these maximum security inmates that won't even look at you. And they kind of mumble when they talk to you, and they, you know, I don't know, it's interesting. But you fast forward to the last day that we have, and these same men that wouldn't look at you are giving you bear hugs, and they're thanking you. And there's a difference in how they look and how they act. So that's something that's hard to put into words, because you have to see it to really understand. So that's one thing that stands out to me. The second is we take these breaks, and there's a yard that we go out, you know, because we do our thing, and then we take these breaks and we go out. And I saw this one man just in the corner. So I went up and started talking to him. And to have someone tell you that you're the first person in over 40 years from the outside, besides an inmate or a correctional officer, the first person in over 40 years that's talked to them or even touched them, to give them a hug. I don't know, again, these are emotions that are hard to put into words, but when you experience it and you shared God's love and you know you've touched somebody like that, and that's just one man. I mean, man after man after man, when we go in, they're thanking us, they're hugging us, they're loving us. And like I said at the beginning, you know, Kairos is all about unconditional love. I was telling Frank earlier that, or maybe it was my wife, that one of the things that I admire about these men that I go in with is these inmates, I know that when they're with us, they're experiencing a love that they probably have never had in their life. And to know that I'm part of that is just a blessing beyond belief. And the last thing that I think about is I took my son to college off in Houston. And I don't know, has everybody here heard of Joel Osteen? Yeah, Lakewood Church. That church averages, I think, 50,000 people in service a week. So if you're not familiar with Joel Osteen Church, it's a mega church, it's a monster. So Nate and I went to the service. It's like a basketball arena. It's beautiful. The music's off. I mean, it's just incredible. It's the most professional, incredible service you can see in terms of the quality of that service. And it was a good message. It was all good. It was all fine. One second.
We tell them we had to have. We tell them this was we got to have.
So anyway, so we went to this Lakewood Church service. It was awesome. It was great. Everything. On Sunday, fast forward to that same week, on Saturday, I went to this chapel that Frank's talking about with 40 or so volunteers, along with maybe 70 to 80 inmates, men in blue. And to compare services between Lakewood and that chapel, I'll take that chapel any day of the week, because the Holy Spirit in that place and the way that those men worshiped with all their heart and with all their soul.
They sing from here.
It's funny because we played that song, I'll Fly Away. And that's like the greatest hits for these Kairos guys. They love that song because think about it. I mean, they'd love to fly away. They'd love to get out. And we had nothing to do with that song being picked. It was just like, that's a God thing. And so when we're in the Kairos weekend, one of the things that we do is imagine, what, how many men do we have? 40 men?
40
so?
Plus.
40 plus men. Picture this, a room, and I'm being literal here, a room of 40 maximum security inmates and 40 Kairos volunteers walking around a room doing this, I'll fly away, all singing it out loud. And that's literally what's happening.
And they sing from the bottom of their
hearts.
And
they sing, they're not singing like, they are like joyfully singing. You know, I the worship band, I mean, we have songs to talk about, you know, worship joyfully. I mean, these guys, they get it. So the question you may be asking yourself is, why are we telling you these stories? Why are we sharing this with you? So I would love for every man and woman, because there is a woman, Kairos. It's not the same. It's a little different. I would love for every one of you to volunteer. But we understand, we know that Kairos it's not for everybody, because it's an intense ministry. I'm not going to lie. So why are we doing this? I think... Hang on, I lost my thing. For me, it's an even bigger picture. I think everyone will agree that right now, if you just turn on the news, there's so much going on in the world. I mean, there's tragedies, there's natural disasters, and I think there are so many people out there that could use a helping hand, a Christian helping hand, a Christian loving hand. So by sharing our stories, one of the things Frank and I talk about, I don't know, I'm sure some of you have experienced this, but if you've ever experienced giving to somebody and changing them and just giving them that touch that they need, that probably you got as much, if not more, out of that giving than you gave, that you received so much more back. Our wish for you is that you could find your Kairos, whatever that may be, whether it's helping some homeless people, whether it's helping people that are in some situation. I mean, that's our wish for you. I think we would love for you.
Find your Kairos.
Find your Kairos, whatever that may
be.
We
found ours, you find yours.
Because I can tell you one thing, that when I've found Kairos, it's changed my life. It's made me a better Christian. It's made me a better person. You know, I was talking to Pastor Jeff the other day, and he gave the analogy of a glass of water. That if you look at a glass of water that's completely full, you can't really put any more into it. And if you look at our lives are a lot like a full glass of water, because we're so busy with things, we're so busy with families or work or other things, that we don't have time to listen to the Holy Spirit and to put some more in there. So our hope and our prayer for you guys is you'll take your glass of water, you'll take yourself, and empty it out, so that you'll be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and be open to finding your Kairos. Because I can promise you, if you do, it will change your life, it'll make you a better person, it'll make you a better Christian, and you get so much more in return than you give.